Go ahead, Mike. I interrupted you.
That's okay. No, I haven't really talked to Verna and or Lori or Kelly about what we're doing. Just to get things started, I had talked to Rob Schaefer about just continuing this path on the Supernova coaching and trying to continue to work on refining the things that we do and how we do them and so forth. And so Rob is going to work with us over the next 12 weeks.
Ten to twelve weeks, depending on what you need.
Depending on what we needed, just to continue to give us some guidance. So, anyway, I talked with him last week, and then we had a few things to get done, and then. But I'll turn it over to you, Rob, I guess.
All right, folks. I think I've met some of you. I know I've met Mike. I was in when we did a kickoff in Minneapolis 2-3 years ago. I spent a little bit of time with Mike. Here's what Mike and I have talked about on numerous occasions. It's reducing the size of the practice is what it gets down to. If you remember from the first part of Supernova, we spend time doing three things. Getting the practice down to its core, organizing it, and then growing it. So I'm glad everybody is on the call just to get a sense for where you are in the process. Matt, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
When you look at the last number that Mike gave me, and this is 2 weeks ago, on the number of households is 530.
Yep.
And what I asked Mike to take a look at, and Mike has been very diligent about doing the homework, is to pretend that Mike had responsibility for 50 households and you had responsibility for 75. And then just look at what those dynamics, what that looked like as a practice. And Matt, when I say you would have responsibility for 75 and Mike for 50, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Never going to happen. I mean, I'm assuming we want to be candid and honest here.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Tell me why.
Well, I think part our book is we have so many butlers. I mean, we've pruned our book, Rob, I don't know, at the height, I don't know how many times, like from 800 down to 300. Now there's 500, yes. That's not a great number because there's a lot of D-Network 529 accounts in there and Simple Plan, you know, participants that UBS are counting as households.
Yeah.
You know, I would maybe maintain that we're in that 330 range, 350 range still. But a lot of our book anymore, after a couple of swipes through it, you know, our butler accounts, our related accounts, the larger, you know, the top 50 if you want. So I'd like to do it. I'd love to have a simplified day and I'm a little hesitant to think that we will get truly to 125. I think we can make more headway than we have now. I just don't know if we can get there.
Well, my thought, Matt, and I do appreciate your candor and will appreciate everyone's, the purpose was to get the focus off. You've been through exercises, Matt, and you just said it a minute ago. We've gotten rid of a lot of people. And this is – while that happens in Supernova, it's not the goal. The goal is to create the time so you can focus on your best relationships. I know it may sound like the same thing, but in our mind, it's different. And the reason I asked Mike to do that work, the 125, was just so we could focus on the core and pretend if you blew everything else out, not suggesting that, but if you did, what would that look like? And the numbers that that Mike sent to me on Saturday was that the top 125 do about 85% of the business. Is that a surprise to you?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be. So maybe the right number here. Here's the, as you remember, Supernova was about getting down to a maximum of 100. Remember that?
Yep.
We think that's too many. But that's a starting point, because if you talk to 5 people a day, that means you can talk to 100 people once a month. The math kicks that out. So we think you have even more time to focus on your best clients if you get down to fewer than that. So, you know, the right number might be 60 for 60 for Mike, and it might be 80 for you. This isn't about getting to 125, but it's getting the idea, getting us focused on the top people, not getting rid of the bottom. I hope you see that difference.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay. So if you think about that, and again, I'm going, Mike, all I did to get to that 85%. As you said, your best guess was at about 1,963,000 came out of those top 25, and you said you were going to do around 1.3, and I just did the math on that. So, if I hear you right, Matt, and please correct me, if you could get down to 125, 135, 145, 75 apiece, whatever, you would be on board with doing that.
Absolutely.
Okay. And what keeps you from doing it?
I wish we had.
I got the evil eyeball.
We should do video conferencing, Rob. No. What keeps us? Inertia, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the big reasons. I mean, two, we don't, maybe a little bit of fear of the unknown.
Sure.
You know, sure. Maybe for you would be loss of revenue, potential loss of revenue. I mean, you're kind of betting on the come there to a certain degree.
Yes.
I think that, I think Mike and I just like to help everyone.
Yes.
And so saying no to someone is hard, and we're both guilty of that. So, I mean, we can go through the last month, and we can probably give you a couple of examples of not being able to say no.
Okay, I get that. I get that, but. That negates everything before the but. You would be on board for getting down to 150 clients.
Yeah.
Okay, Verna?
Yeah.
When you hear about having 150 households in the practice, what goes through your mind? Pardon?
Kind of like Matt. I don't think it's possible.
But if it were possible, what would you think about it?
I would like it.
And that, again, forgive me for asking a dumb question, but I'm going to do it. How would that? Give me one way that would change your day.
It would definitely free up my time to get the tasks done on the large accounts that need to be done.
Yeah, and take a deep breath and maybe not have as much stress and all the things that come with your job.
Right.
I did a little research this morning, and Matt said something that I hear on a regular basis, and that is the guilt. We like to think we can help everybody. I'm not going to have what Matt said exactly. We like to help everybody. We feel a little guilt about getting rid of those smaller clients. Now, keeping that in your mind, let me. There's a report that was done in 2012 around physicians, and I'll send you the report. You might find it interesting, but they are stressed out also. Let me just give you just three things from that report. Over 52% of physicians have limited the access Medicare patients have to their practices, or they're planning to do so. They don't enjoy the paperwork. They don't enjoy the stress. That's one way that they're limiting access to their practice. Over 26% of physicians have closed their practices to Medicaid patients. As you know, Medicaid is for people who are poor. And then the next one, over the next 1 to 3 years, over 50% of physicians plan to cut back on patients, work part-time, switch to concierge medicine, retire, or take other steps that would reduce patient access to their services. Now, when I tell you that from this survey, 26% of physicians are basically saying they're closing their practice to poor people, you can look at that and say, well, that's pretty cold-hearted. But if on one hand you've got to limit your capacity so you can have time to spend with your other patients, it takes a different look, or at least it does to me. So the idea of reducing the practice is normally when the practice is reduced in the financial services business, everybody wins. Who is everybody? FAs win, CSAs win, UBS wins because they have higher energy employees. Clients who are staying in the practice win because they get more of y'all's time. And then you don't want to believe this, or a lot of people won't accept it, a lot of clients who are not going to be part of your practice anymore win because they get better service from somebody else. So as we talk about the size of the practice, I would ask you to not think about, you know, we're going to appear arrogant or whatever. It's about maintaining your energy so you can take care of your best clients. So what I hear, and again, sing out, if you could snap your fingers and you would be down to 140 households, you wouldn't have to make the calls to the folks who would not be part of your practice, you'd sign up for that. Matt, did I hear you correctly?
Yes.
Mike, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Okay, Verna, would you be okay with it?
Yep.
Verna, I didn't hear you.
Lori, she gave it a thumbs
up. I said
up.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Lori, you okay with it?
I am very okay with it. I do all the scheduling, so that would be fantastic.
You know how I know you do all the scheduling?
How do you know that?
Because last week Mike and I were supposed to meet, and he said you were out, and he double scheduled. So I knew. I didn't mean that it was your problem. I'm just saying that Mike told me you did the scheduling. So everybody is Kaylee there?
No, we couldn't get her looped in.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna assume she's going to agree. Okay. Here's what I'd like to give you a couple of thought processes here. And I'll send you this list, and so you don't have to write it down. It'll also be in the notes. Let me give you a couple of ideas on how you might want to reduce the size of the practice. Just some really simple things. Verna, you got any clients who you just don't enjoy?
No, not really. Not anymore.
Okay. That's a good thing. The first thing to look at. Mike, you got any clients you don't enjoy?
We've purged quite a few of those. I would say 80% of them. There's maybe a couple that aren't my favorites that are difficult, but not bad. No.
All right.
We got most of them.
Let me give you a list of things to think about here to help you with this process. You don't enjoy doing business with them. Number two, if you didn't have to worry about somebody's feelings, you would reassign them. There's a lot of people in that group. What about people that if they left, you got an ACATS? Verna walks up to Matt and says, so-and-so, we just got an ACATS to wherever. Matt doesn't bother. Yeah, okay, fine. Matt doesn't care. What about if you looked at all your people doing less than $1,000 a year in revenues? After you take out taxes and your percentage that you get paid versus what the firm keeps, there's not a lot of profitability left in those people. And then the final one, and this is key, is if you told clients that your practice had grown to a point that you couldn't offer the level of service, if you told them that, they would gladly accept reassignment. And there's more of those people than you know. So, again, I will send you that list, but I would ask you all to start going through the list and making lines through them. This person could go. Mike, I ask you to bring that list of clients high to low. Do you have that with you?
Yeah.
Tell me again, how many pages is that list?
On revenue or?
Either one. Let's take the revenue.
Eighteen.
All
right.
There's about half a dozen pages, maybe, of zeroed out accounts that are networked. You know, and we kind of poo-pooed that, but at the same time, that's just work that's sitting out there that hasn't popped up yet. Either KYC or somebody calling for a check or somebody calling for a IRE distribution or somebody calling for tax 1099 or whatever it might be.
And as a frontline person, it's difficult to deal with because you can't find where they need to be or go.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. So those
yeah.
are the...
Your name is on their statement.
That's all they know.
We can't see it, and they tend to be impatient.
Do you get, and not sophisticated as a rule, did you guys get a bunch of those? You get, I mean, not a bunch, but you know what I mean.
Not a bunch, but...
You do get them?
For sure.
You do?
I have to say I get one.
Really?
Mike, I'm having trouble hearing the conversation among you all.
Yeah, we don't have the right...
closer to the speaker.
We don't have the regular speaker phone that's not working. I just asked them, are they getting a lot of calls from what we call non-network accounts where we're listed as broker of record, but they're calling for a statement or a 1099 or a rollover or a address change or whatever it might be, a tax information, and they're both saying that they get more than I know about.
Okay. Well,
which takes
there's
time.
A way that you can free up some time. Let's discuss a couple of specifics that Mike went through with me the first time we talked a couple of weeks ago. Mike, I asked you you talked about how many clients you had in they were simple plans.
Yeah.
And you told me that the simple plans are about 3.5 million people, 3.5 million in assets.
Right.
Gross about 10 grand. That's what you sent me on Saturday. My question I wrote next to that, does it make sense to keep this account? Do the principals do a lot of business?
No.
Why wouldn't you just get rid of those accounts?
Yeah, and I don't even think they're in these numbers. I thought they were, but they're not in these. Some of them
seems to be hit or miss, doesn't it?
Yeah, hit or miss. Yeah. Anyway, do they? I mean, what do we?
Simple plans aren't really that hard. You know, the quarterly.
Yeah. Consumer?
That itself wasn't a time consumer, but you know how many people had art and you know how much that's probably 150.
Are they in this list here?
Yeah,
you think?
I'm sure they are. They're probably the Zero Balance Club.
Oh. Okay.
Again, I'm not hearing all the conversation. How was that Verna you were talking with?
We can move in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Verna.
Are the simple plans on that list, Verna?
Yeah, I think the simple plans are on that list. But we had a retirement plan that the company got bought out by somebody else, and it was a 401k plan. So I am proposing that I'd say 100 to 150 names on this list are people that rolled their IRAs over to UBS. They rolled out of that plan into just plain old IRAs, non-networked, at the mutual fund. And those we get a lot of calls from.
Those what, Verna?
So we get a lot of calls from those people. I don't think Mike sees that, but, you know.
Okay. Verna, why wouldn't you just unload those people? I hate to use that term, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What's the downside, Mike?
None right now.
Couldn't you send those accounts to the investment center?
Yeah, it's probably going through this list and certainly being more aggressive about where these came from, and those could go to the investment center. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question, and it's just done to facilitate conversation, not to be confrontational. Why haven't you done that before now?
We have, Rob. It just continues to grow.
But no, I'm talking about this specific thought process, getting rid of that 401k that y'all just brought up. Why haven't you done that before?
It just happened within the last couple months. So I guess
we haven't
dealt with it.
Here's usually the answer when I ask that question is we're so stinking busy we don't have time to take a look at it.
That was kind of
that makes a lot of sense to me. And again, all I know is what you all are sharing, and I'm having trouble hearing everybody on the call. There's no reason to keep those people. They're taking time away from Verna. They're taking time. Any time that they take is time that's coming from the time that the team spends with your best clients. So that, you know, what we're doing here is what business owners do. You take a step back and you look at your practice. Whether you're selling shoes or whatever, you make sure that you're constantly looking at your practice. Now, let me bring up another one that you mentioned, Mike, and that was the Community Foundation. Remember that conversation?
Part of it.
Well, part of it was that they brought in somebody else to make the investment decisions. You domicile some of those in your practice, but all you're collecting from those people are mutual fund trails. Did I get that incorrectly?
Well, that's right.
Okay. And you've got a small relationship with the head of the Community Foundation, $35,000, I think you said.
Yeah.
Why is that account in your practice?
I don't know.
Matt, what's your thought?
It's hard maybe, Rob, for me to speak to that because that's not my account. The Community Foundation, that strategy has always rubbed me a little bit, but Mike was around and in business when they employed it and has more history to it. They're clients' assets, so that's the problem a little bit, unless I don't know the whole story.
Yeah, what happens, Rob, is we, over the years, made referrals to the Community Foundation for clients that needed CRUDs or donor advised funds. If they were large enough, then they would invest that money back through us via mutual fund, which, again, is mostly just a servicing fee. So the revenue from it is inconsequential. That's just what we did over time. We have one major account there, and that's $2.5 million or so with a key client, but most of them are, 100, 200, 350, whatever. They're not, most of them are just trails. And the reality is we have to waive all the fees on their accounts because they come to us as being a nonprofit charity and tell us that all the other advisors are doing it. And so it's a little bit of a love-hate thing. So we work for nothing and then they expect more.
Oh, I wish I had. This is the first time I was hearing stories like this, Mike. It's a love-hate relationship. That's exactly what you said 2 weeks ago. So, what? And I think you told me that the revenues from all of that are $5,000 to $6,000, and then you said maybe it's $6,500. And what these people, you know, Matt, you say you kind of have strange feelings about the account. Now, those aren't your words, but I think the reason that most FAs have strange feelings around this is you're getting used a little bit. Do you have to pay to waive the fees, Mike?
The branch does, yeah.
Yeah, I do. So you're.
Well, and then on top of that, then they want us to fundraise for them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, they want us to. I don't want to get into all my personal feelings in the community foundation, but, you know, then they want our clients, and they want us to help, but then they don't want to pay anything for it, and then they're beating you up on the fees.
Yeah.
Lukewarm would be my love-hate. That's a good one, love-hate.
Matt, I used this thought process with Mike last week. What if you went to the community foundation and said, we are making, and these are my words, you all would do it better, we're making some refinements to our practice. We are significantly reducing the number of people in our practice, so we can spend more time with people who really need our guidance and help. Part of that, I'm focused on people who need our help. You all don't really seem to need our help. My suggestion would be respectfully that you would be better served somewhere else. And the last part really felt bad as it came out off my tongue. But you just say we're making some refinements. We just don't have the capacity to continue to do what we're doing. What's the biggest risk there, Mike, if you would do that?
I don't know. It's more political risks, probably more than anything.
That down with me. What political risk?
I don't know. You know, it's a small community in one sense, so I'm not sure. I'd have to think through that a little bit. But you know, if we cut them out, it sends a message, because if we're one of the major firms in town, we're certainly one of the major financial planning and advisory firms. If all of a sudden we went to them and said, we don't want your business anymore, I mean, that goes to every board and every committee and every who's who in town. But it also, you know, it might also just be a fax, Jack.
Well, I hear what you're saying. And it's hard. It's easy for me to sit here in Nashville, Tennessee, and tell you that's easy. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you all did that, and a really good client came to you, Mike, and said, you know, what's this stuff with you not doing business with the community foundation anymore? And you say, well, Bill, I'm really glad you asked me that. Our team has significantly reduced the number of people in our practice. We've done that for a couple of reasons. Number one is that we don't want to let the service to our existing practice suffer as our practice grows. So we are focused on the folks who really need our help. We want to maintain the service that those people deserve. And frankly, the other reason is we're creating some space to bring in more people like you. This isn't about not wanting to do business with the Community Foundation. It's just about being able to deliver our service to too many people. Now, I could say that better if I had more time to plan. But if they're giving you crumbs. And that's my term, not yours. And they're being demanding, and they reward you for the business you've referred to them by farming that business out to other people. I mean, that's like abuse. Now, and again, that's too strong a term, but you've only got so much capacity, folks, and still have the energy to bring to the practice. People like this are energy drainers. Again, I can't, I don't know. Mike, are you fairly well involved in the community?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. You've made a lot of deposits into the community. I don't. My guess is that people aren't going to judge you on this one thing if they perceive it as negative. So again, here we are. We're talked about the simple plans. They're taking a lot more time with the staff than you're aware, Mike. And now we're talking about the Community Foundation that I can feel a little energy around that, negative energy around that account. How many other ways are there to look at your practice and get the practice down to its core? I think that it's harder because you all have not had the time to sit down as a group and have the conversation that we're having now. You're too busy spending time in that reactive quadrant and not enough time in the proactive quadrant. So two specific folks that you could have a conversation around. Now, you go back to the list, Mike. You said it's how many pages long? 19?
18.
So if you eliminated every relationship producing less than $1,000, how many pages would you reduce?
Probably a dozen.
How many?
10.
So you'd cut it in half?
Probably.
Okay. Now, there's some of those people, Matt brought up the term butler a minute ago. There's some of those people who are probably butlers, folks that are attached to bigger clients.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people there that you could significantly reduce. That you could send to the center or to somebody else in the office, and I know you don't have a huge office. How many FAs you have in the office?
9.
Okay, might be hard to give those to somebody else in the office. Who knows? So.
Yeah, we're stuck. We don't have much of a bench right now.
Send it to the investment center. You get. I think they're paying you for that now, aren't they? For a period of time?
Mm-hmm. After.
Huh? Pardon?
After we send half the book there.
Yeah, they are.
Matt, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
No, Rob, we've done this. I think we sent two fairly large groupings of clients already to the investment center.
Okay.
That was last year. The first Nova go-around, we did a purge.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
We've done a purge when we teamed up in 09, Mike, and then we did another purge last year. So we've done two purges.
I know.
Well, are you saying, Matt, that you don't think you need to purge anymore?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's probably 10 pages here that we could purge.
Okay.
I mean, to your point, under 1,000, yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just... We've done it twice... and we need to do it again, but this one's going to hurt, would maybe be what I'm saying. The first go-around was easier because they were more of mine when Mike and I started teaming in 09. And then last year, 2 years ago when we did the last purge, it was, I mean, we took some skin, but, you know, this one's going to be an arm. Not from a revenue standpoint, but from a, you know, that's my neighbor. That's my friend. That's the first account I ever got. You know, it's going to be some of those harder conversations.
I hear you. Do you know, Matt, I started in production in 1971. Do you know that I can remember the first account I ever opened? It was Carricker's Feed and Seed somewhere in southern Illinois. Now, I understand what you're saying, that there are going to be some people that are going to be hard. I get it. But what I would ask you to think about, to consider, is there are a lot of people who, when you all send them to the investment center, aren't going to care. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't think of that one client that was maybe your first account and, you know, gave you apple pie when you came to call on them, whatever, and let that person color the view of that whole group. There literally are some people, you know how I said a minute ago, if you got an ACATS on this person, you wouldn't even look up, you wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going the other way, too. You know, they're going to say, oh, okay, that's fine, because they're not hearing from you on a regular basis right now. So I know it's hard, but I would ask you to I'd ask you to work on it. I get paid for telling y'all what we think makes sense, and we have a pretty good track record. We've been in y'all's system for 3 years. We keep getting invited back, so something good is happening. Total candor requires me to say something that you already know, is if you don't reduce the size of your practice, not in revenues, but in number of households, nothing's going to change. You're going to come in tired. You're going to leave tired. Oversimplification. You're going to have things that fall through the cracks. You're going to have double scheduling, whatever. Nothing is going to change significantly until you reduce the size of the practice. And Rob Knapp said something the other day on a conference call. He said he's never had an FA call him and say, you know, we cut our practice back and our business dropped. And we stay close to these people. We're with them for 12 weeks. So, you know, he talks, I don't know if you remember the presentation, Mike, Rob talked about that invisible bridge from Indiana Jones. You kind of got to take a step out there and trust that the bridge is there. If you knew, Matt, if you knew that you could cut your practice to 140 households, if I could guarantee it, and I can't, but if I could and you knew your business would go up, would it make the process easier?
Yeah.
If I could snap my fingers, you'd be down to 140 households. You wouldn't have to make any calls to those clients that are leaving, and your business would go up. Would that make it easier?
I'd still lose a little sleep.
You probably would, because you got a heart, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where I'm going. Oh, thanks, Mike. I can rat you out.
So here.
Mike pulled his eyes when he said, I have a heart.
Has that been a question?
No. You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, this has to be hard. I've never had an FA tell me this was really easy with every client. So if we don't get this part done, then we are, when we get into organization, which is the schedule. When you went through it the first time, Mike, did y'all get scheduled the monthly contact?
No, we got the scheduling sort of set up. Lori's got that set up and is doing a great job on it. But I never was able to get the monthly call set up.
Okay.
Part of it is I can't carve out the time to get it done.
Because?
Now you're just rubbing salt into the wound.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to. I'm trying to make a point. So the point is, if we don't get the segmentation right, the organization won't work because you're too busy. You're taking phone calls, whatever. And when we get to the acquisition part, which is growing your practice with more people like your best clients, you're going to bring them into a reactive practice, and they're not going to be happy. So if we don't get the segmentation right, if you don't get the segmentation right, the rest will be fun and enjoyable, but it won't be effective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to talk myself out of work here. I get paid to tell you what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would. Any comments on that, Matt?
Well, just real maybe one quick, and I think Mike has a comment. Is thinking too, but you know, we the last go around, Rob, we did, and I think maybe the takeaway or my analysis of this is, you know, we did what I would maybe call supernova light. you know, we understood and it made sense to us and we got it and it spoke to what we were trying to accomplish. And so we went through and we got Mike down to 100, but then we made some cuts, but then we thought we could take and run a modified Supernova version. So that's what we did. We had, you know, Mike did his 100 and yeah, he didn't get them scheduled up on the calendar, but he got a couple of them and we took the spreadsheet, and Lori is doing a very good job of getting those clients set up on their meetings. And then we took everyone else, and we ran me with a couple of monthlies and then everybody else quarterly, and Lori is scheduling all those annual meetings, but it's still not working. I mean, that's my analysis, is Mike is still, you know, instead of 100, he's got 125, but then there's a couple that will still call him. We can't say no. And so we bring in more clients. I mean, I can think of three clients this month I should have said no to, but I didn't. The app, you know, the 401k debacle that we did to ourselves this year for, I would argue, good reasons. But so I think you're right. We just need to take the step if that's, I don't know.
Yeah, keep after it. I guess we made good progress, and we did whittle the book down. We probably took the easier cuts, but we did cut from 5 to 3. now it's back up to 5 because of these other non-network accounts, which I guess were out there. We just didn't know they were out there. And then the other problem too on the scheduling has been just trying to get clients to commit to that. And there probably is a way to do that to get a doctor to, like a trolley, or, you know, some of them they're just have flexible schedules that never quite know what day they're going to be off to get them on a consistent, to get them to commit to a call every month.
Mike, we have a process for setting those kind of calls up.
Okay.
What to do, what you're really saying is we're getting some pushback on the monthly scheduling, right?
A little bit, yeah. Or a lot.
Yeah, we got a whole thought process to go through around those. And at the appropriate time, I would be happy to share that. But it gets back to what I just heard. You all have, you made it, you tried to do it a little differently, and I've heard that one before. But what happens is you can't get past the fact that you have too many relationships. It just dies of its own weight. You miss appointments, you disappoint clients, so on and so forth. So, you know, we have two types of clients in Supernova. We got Supernova clients and we got butlers. Butlers get 4-1. Everybody else gets 12-4-2, or at least they're offered that. And we'll walk you through that process. So here's what I would say, and I'd be interested in any comments you have, is I think you ought to go through the exercise of getting down to 150 households. Now, just so we're in agreement on 150, well, on a household is if you got a husband and wife and one of them makes the decisions for everybody, for the other, that's one household. If you got a husband and wife and they each have their own portfolios and make their own decisions, that's two households. If you've got two brothers who are wealthy and own a business, that's two households. You don't lump them because they each need their own calls. So, and then butlers don't count in the 150. So I would go through the exercise. As a matter of fact, I would do the exercise at 140, and just really be thoughtful about it. Do we really want the Community Foundation? Do we really want this Simple Plan? And just start from the top. If we could only have one client, this is what it would look like. If we could only have two clients, these are the two that we would pick. And stop at 140 and see what that looks like. Now, again, butlers don't count. What you've done in the past, you've just described to me, and Matt used the term, you know, we got the easy ones. Everybody does the easy ones first, but it didn't make any difference because you didn't create enough space to be proactive with the others. So, Mike, what I would suggest is just getting to the look at the 140. You might have somebody that that has $1 million with you. They don't do any business. They treat you like a bank. They're demanding. You know, I'd rather have a $500,000 relationship that follows my advice and is fully fee-based than $1 million relationship that doesn't take your advice. So that's being thoughtful. That's not saying, well, this person's got $1 million, we couldn't off this person. Yeah, maybe you can. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll tell you, Mike, if we can't get this done, then we shouldn't spend the time, and I'll give you your money back. I don't mean that to be ugly. I mean it to be thoughtful about y'all's time. For us to show up for an hour a week, and it's, you know, everybody's going through the motions. Doesn't mean you're not working. You're just going through the motions. It's not effective. You don't feel good about it, and mm-hmm. I'm not able to help you. So here's my suggestion: is between now and next week, take a really hard look at getting down to 140 households. And then if you look at that and say, Rob, we couldn't get to 140, but we think we could swallow hard and get to 160, then maybe that's where we start. But 140 would, Matt, wouldn't you say 140 households would really cause you to really have to think through some things?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make this easy. I'm trying to make it hard as we get focused on the people who really drive the practice. And let me tell you what else is going to happen. I don't know if you got far enough into Supernova the first time around, but if you when you go to your existing clients and you talk to them about the refinements you've made and the monthly contact and the fact that you now have a minimum, that they're going to like it and you're going to get more money. That happens not every time, but on a frequent basis. What is your minimum, Matt? What's the minimum size relationship you'll all take?
What it's supposed to be? Or
well, we've often said $500,000, Rob.
I get that part of having said it.
Last month, I broke that twice.
Yeah.
And I'm the good one about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know you've said it. I used to tell my son to be home by 11, and that didn't always work. What's the right minimum, Matt? What's the right minimum? What's the gut answer?
$1 million.
Okay. Unless there are extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
What's an extenuating circumstance? Somebody's got 500 and they got a $2 million liquidity event in March. I think you find a way to open that relationship, right? We're not crazy here. We're using common sense. So, yeah, as I look at your team, $1 million looks like the right thing. Well, why do you have a minimum? Glad you asked. We have to limit the capacity of our clients, of our practice. We have to we can't allow the growth of our practice to interfere with the service we give to our existing client base. That's a pretty good answer. Pretty good answer because it's the truth. We also want to have the capacity to add more people like you when people ask you why you have a minimum. So a minimum really would – enforced minimum would help things a lot. I mean, you violate it, Matt. You say you're the good one, which tells me Mike violates it. Mike said, told me that saying no was really, really hard, and I get that. So, Mike, what are you thinking right now?
Well, yeah, I think the again, it's not about working. It's about trying to make sure we're taking care of clients the best we can, and making sure we're taking care of them the best we can. So I'm not feeling. Sometimes you're not feeling that way, and part of it might be the minimum. If we're not, because I've got an appointment next week for a minimum that's $350. I've always thought our minimum was $250, so you said $5, so that kind of threw me for a loop. I thought it was $250, but my minimum is $1 million. So I've been trying to restrict my relationships to $1 million or more. But the team was $250, but even then we violated that the last couple of weeks.
Well, we in Supernova, Mike, we have one minimum. It makes no sense to us that if they come into the team through you, they got to have $1 million. If they come in through Matt, they only have to have $250,000. That to us makes no sense because it's all the same practice.
Okay.
So,
all right, we'll take another hard, thoughtful look at all of it again.
Okay, let's do that, Mike. And again, I would ask you to be thoughtful about it. And let's leave it this way. I'm not trying to take the pedal off. I'm just trying to be to recognize the fact that this is a challenge for you. If we get to next week and you haven't gotten that done,
mm-hmm.
let's just move it to the next week.
Okay.
All right. Again, hear me clearly. I'm not trying to take the heat off. I just want to recognize the fact that I'm going to ask you to be thoughtful about it and give us a base.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is, unless I hear from you, Mike, I'm going to assume we're on for same time next week.
Okay.
All right, Matt, are you okay with this?
Yeah, I'm good with this, Rob.
Yeah, folks, it'll make a big difference in your life. Your clients will love it. Your clients will love it. Everybody, as I said a minute ago, everybody will gain. So that's the. I'm going to send you out the list of ways to questions that you might ask yourself about the clients. If you got any questions, any of you, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thanks, Rob.
I enjoy it. You all are a challenge. You've got work to do. I've got work to do. This will be good. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rob. Have a Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is the Mike Carl Group. As you can hear, they got some decisions to make. They're doing great work. They're good people. They can't say no. And if they can't say no, it's hard to help them. Adios. Cha-cha.